Hare Krishna. So we've been asked to speak a few words on this wonderful occasion of the appearance day of Lord Ramchandra. We're not accustomed to speaking very often about these pastimes. Many of you, of course, have been brought up right from the time when you were babies, hearing the wonderful pastimes of Ramayana. Unfortunately, I was born in the family of, well, I don't know if you could say Rakshasas, but certainly Mlechas, Chandalas, and we did not have the opportunity to hear these pastimes when we were children. We were hearing different pastimes, which hopefully are well in the past, when we were kids. The first time I came across the Ramayana, or the subject matter of Lord Ramchandra, was 1970. A friend of mine, I was studying at college, a friend of mine gave me a copy of the Ramayana. He didn't want to read it. He thought I should read it, so I didn't really want to read it either. It was a very strange language, strange names, not accustomed to these names. Kumbhakarna, Sipanaka, very hard names for Westerners to relate to, you know. Ram was a little easier, Sita Ram, but much of it was like hard. But we started to read it, and I must say it was the most amazing. It was a short version, it wasn't the full Ramayana, but a wonderful experience, which really went a long way, for me anyway, in changing my heart. I really felt some spontaneous attraction towards whatever it was that Ramayana is. I didn't really understand necessarily that these are the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or what the effects of hearing such pastimes would be, or what the purpose of his advent was. But merely hearing, even though the translation was not written by a Vaishnava per se, still, there was something extremely captivating about these pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. You've been hearing from Arisham and from Vasugosh Prabhus and afterwards from other devotees about these pastimes. Well, not only have I not read the Ramayana all the way through since then, that was 1970, which is, what, 40 years ago? It's a long time. I can barely remember most of the pastimes. We've read and heard bits and pieces, but nothing. So what we're going to do today is try at least to take a few lessons from the Ramayana, which may be relevant to us in our lives. The Lord comes into this world, as you know, paritranaya saranam vinashaya chudushvitam dharma samstapanatya sambhavami yuge yuge, that he comes into this world to enliven, deliver, as you wish, his devotees, particularly to enliven them by performing wonderful pastimes and bringing great pleasure to them, and also to remove the demons, not just the rakshasas or whoever they are, the demoniac element in society, but from the hearts or the minds of the conditioned souls. So when we hear these pastimes, Krishna, Ram, various avatars, this has the effect of removing anartas, unwanted desires within our hearts. We all have, I'm sure, quite a few unwanted desires in our hearts. Or maybe, there's a positive side, also, to awaken the good qualities of a purified soul. So we can see by the practical pastimes in the Ramayana, there are many, many wonderful examples of exchanges, loving exchanges between devotees, and also examples of their wonderful behavior, which is exemplary, to try to help us also to apply these principles of behavior in our lives too. So we're going to try to go through, I'm not, honestly speaking, very prepared, but we'll try to do something at least. As I've been asked to speak, we have to speak. So you can either stay and tolerate, or you may do as you wish. But I think it, if you can, if you're not too tired or whatever, I hope you don't get too bored or whatever, but hopefully you'll get a little something at least, which may help us in our Krishna consciousness. Well, we know that Srila Prabhupada didn't speak an awful lot about the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. Not an awful lot. In the Bhagavatam, we find in the ninth canto, there are several chapters dedicated to this pastime of the... Well, all the avatars, of course, are mentioned, but Sukadeva Goswami doesn't go into much detail because he explains to Parikshit Maharaj, you've already heard this over and over. It wasn't new. Even then, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra were very famous and well known to even during Krishna's time. Of course, they occurred well before that. Today we also see all over the world, in fact, not all over the world, but all over Asia at least, we find many places. Some of you have been to Bangkok. Who's been to Bangkok? You know Bangkok in Thailand? Have you heard of Bangkok? Yes? Has anybody been to Bangkok? If you go to Bangkok, you'll see, well, just recently, maybe, I don't know, 30 years past, the capital of Thailand, for instance, was changed. Up until about 30 years ago, the capital was called Ayodhya. That was the capital of Thailand. And the main street, or maybe the main 12 streets, the main 12 roads in Bangkok are called Rama 1, Rama 2, Rama 3, Rama 4, Rama 5, Rama 6, Rama 7, Ayodhya 1, Ayodhya 2, like this. So it would possibly, maybe there's some relationship there between, you know, that and Lord Ramachandra, and more than likely, especially when you go in the king's palace and in the main temple, Buddhist temple in Bangkok, the Emerald Buddha Temple, which is the king's main temple in the whole country, the wall, perimeter wall, maybe, I don't know, maybe 500 meters, maybe 1,000 meters, the perimeter wall in total length, all around the perimeter wall, in beautiful paintings, is depicted the pastimes of Ramayana, all around. And if you go to Malaysia, Indonesia, particularly Indonesia, one will find, although it's a 95% Muslim country, that the favorite, let's say, performance, like, you know, cultural performance, is Ramayana. Even though they're Muslims, they love to perform the Ramayana. They do it in either shadow, like puppet shadows, like that. But they love it. It's just in their blood. Because these, well, of course, the kingdom of Ram, and throughout the ages, spread throughout all of these various parts of the world, and it's continued down to the present day. And now all over the world we see the name Ram everywhere. People may know, and there are actually many, many movies of Ram all over the world now. People are watching and reading and so on. People are becoming familiarized more than before. And of course, the word Ram is commonplace. In the West, the word Ram You see it everywhere. You have Londarama, Sinarama, Sinarama, Autorama. Everywhere you see Rama, Ramada Hotel. Everywhere you see Ram. Everywhere. Even in Sydney they have Sex-a-Rama. Everywhere you see they're using the word Ram. They don't know how much benefit they're getting from it, but it has a tremendous benefit. And anyone who sees it or repeats the word, they have no idea that this is referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Ram. So today, let's just read one or two things from a bridge version, of course, of the Ramayana. Some benedictions. And the recitation of the Ramayana grants one all of the fruits of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, and beyond that, it helps one advance towards life's ultimate goal, the development of pure love of God. May the readers of this book become blessed and inspired in Krishna consciousness. May the transcendental forms of Sita and Lord Ramchandra remain forever situated within their hearts. And here's a benediction from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activity. Anyone want to become free of envy? No? Ladies, you don't have any envy. They don't know what envy is. Maybe they don't speak English. Easy, no problem. Envy is probably our number one enemy, ultimately, envy of Krishna. So by hearing the glories of Krishna or Ram, then one becomes freed of envy, simple. Just like this morning we heard the glories of Rasamrita Maharaj. Is it Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj? His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. I have to get used to the name now. Not very much different, just Bhakti, that was already there, Bhakti, full of Bhakti. And it just Deva has changed to Rasa. So, otherwise, Deva Amrita, now Rasa Amrita. And he was already more than a Maharaj, so there's not much real difference. We hope he still continues to be more than a Maharaj. Doesn't become attached to being a Maharaj, I'm sure he will. So, anyway, there are many benedictions here. Let's see. Now, we were saying earlier on, killing the demons, for instance. The battle, for instance, you can hear the battle. Everyone likes to hear about the battle. Isn't it fun? Isn't that fun? I mean, you can just... you may say, well, you know, it's just like... this is like almost sense gratification. You know, hearing how Kumbhakarna is like, you know, picking up like, you know, 300 monkeys at once or something and stuffing him in his mouth. And, you know, not that we want that, you know. It's just... we kind of got a taste for these kind of things, you know. Waking up Kumbhakarna, huh? When Ravana wants to wake him up, you know. Isn't it fun? You read about his cave. How big was his cave? Who knows? How big? 8 yojanas. No, a yojana. What is it? Anyway, it was about 13... yeah, a yojana. About 13 kilometers by 13 kilometers. That was the size of his bedroom. You can imagine how big he was. It wasn't an easy thing waking him up. It's like us, you know. It's not an easy thing waking us up. Right? It's just like this. You can really learn. Here in this pastime, we can think, Jesus is just like trying to wake me up. I don't mean waking you up in the morning. Waking us up to Krishna consciousness, you know. It's like it takes so much effort. So when Ravana finally decided, you know, he would go back and forth, as we all know. He had 10 heads sometimes, and they didn't all agree with each other, so back and forth they go. But it's bad enough having one head. Imagine having 10 heads. You know, isn't it bad enough with one head, right? Geez, trying to control one head. 10 heads, you know, and especially if they don't agree with each other. It's a pretty confusing experience. So, you know, now and again he thought maybe I'd made a mistake, you know. But still he couldn't give up his lust. You know, lust is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. Krishna says, even though you know it's wrong, Krishna Arjuna says, what is it causes you to act in that? You know it's wrong, but you're forced to act in that way, you know, almost forced. Lust, he was overwhelmed by lust, absolute lust, manifestation, personification of lust. But sometimes he comes to his senses, yeah, I made a real mistake, I should have listened. Even Kumbhakarna advised him. Kumbhakarna, of course, was very fortunate. I'm sure we'd all love to have the boon which Kumbhakarna received from Lord Brahma. He wanted to have the boon to stay awake all the time. He got a wonderful boon so that he would sleep for 6 months in a row and wake up for one day and then sleep for 6 months. Nice boon. Oh, wouldn't you like that boon? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Huh? What do you think, Radhisham? No. It'd be a hard time already in the Brahmacharya Ashram, huh? Imagine if they had the boon. I have to sleep for 6 months, Maharaj Prabhu. Nothing I can do about it. Wouldn't get very far, would we? Anyway, he had that boon. So he'd just woken up and he'd just gone back to sleep again, you know? Because he'd just given advice to Ravana, you stupid fool. Why are you asking me for advice now? You know you should have asked for advice before you kidnapped Sita Devi. You know, he realized this is a stupid thing to do, and so many of the ministers said the same thing. But Ravana, you know, blind. When we're blinded, we can't listen to good counsel, either within or without. So nature one's blinded by lust. You only want to hear those who agree with you. You know, Ravana sent Bibhishan packing, you know, Bibhishan was his well-wisher, just like Vidura was a well-wisher Dhritarashtra. But they cannot appreciate, they're blinded by lust. Similarly, when we're blinded by lust, we can't hear good advice, you know. So Ravana, he couldn't hear that good advice of Bibhishan and others. Others also, even his own wife and other ministers, they gave him good advice, but he wouldn't listen. And so anyway, he came to the point, you know, where his son Indrajit had been killed, and you know, practically every one of his main fighters was dead. Things were looking really grim. And he came to realize he seems to have met his match here. He's no ordinary, an ordinary human being. He didn't have protection, as you know, against human beings. He had boons to be protected from this, that, the other. But animals, human beings, he was not so, he was vulnerable. See, he knew this. So he was real worried. So he called, we've got to wake Kumbhakarna. There's only one thing. So in they went to that bedroom, big bedroom, and Kumbhakarna was there. And, you know, some of the devotees are like, you know, see some of the big devotees. And then they... from like 500 meters away, you can't sleep, you know. They can hear them 3 rooms away, snoring like, you know, elephants. And the doors are rattling. Beds shaking. So when they enter the cave, you know, Kumbhakarna is ready. They all, thousands of rakshasas were blown backwards, you know, trying to get in as he breathed out. And it's like that sometimes when someone tries to give us good advice. Leave me alone. I'm sleeping. So then, anyway, eventually they got in. They tried everything they could to wake him up, beating him, roaring, jumping, stamping on him, sticking spears in him. Everything. They brought hundreds and thousands of buckets of meat and blood and all sorts of liquor and stuff for him, because they knew that if he woke him up, he would have to eat like anything. They're trying and trying. They couldn't wake him up. Conch shells blowing, kettle drums banging. Right? They tried everything. They still couldn't wake him up, no matter what they did. Just like trying to wake a person in this material world to Krishna consciousness sometimes. Such a endeavor. And then they brought elephants, thousands of elephants in there. And we put the elephants were all pounding on him, on his body. Pounding and pounding, and all the rakshasas were smashing him with bludgeons. Thousands, hundreds of thousands or whatever, were smashing at him at once. Eventually he started to stir and felt like somebody was scratching him or something. And he woke up. They all flew off. What's going on? And then they immediately appeased him with all these mountains of
blood and flesh, which he consumed and liquor. And then they explained. So then he got up out of his cave. Ram saw this enormous form coming out because he suddenly appeared. They could see him. All the monkeys were devastated, running for their lives. They thought, my God, what is this? We've never seen such a monster. He was miles high, touching the sky. Huge creature. Ram said, just don't tell him not to worry. Tell him it's just a Bibhishan said, just tell him it's a mechanical creature, a mechanical invention. It's not a real, not actually a living entity. Yeah.
He knew who it was. But anyway, they were scared out of their wits. But they said, Ram, don't worry. With Ram around, we have nothing to fear. Anyway, he went to see Ravana, and the story goes on. Like that. We all love to hear these type of pastimes, right? It's wonderful to hear. What to speak of the Battle of Lanka. Isn't it fun? How Ram and his army marched over the bridge to Lanka. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. How many monkeys? How many bears and baboons? Who could count? I can't remember. I just remember things. I can't remember details. But I remember reading and calculated. I was a bit of a statistician, so I calculated all the Vedic calculations as to how many monkeys, baboons, and bears there were. You know, when Ravana sent one of his spies, what was his name? Can't remember. Huh? Shuka? Yeah, Shuka, right. And another one, too. Anyway, he sent them to estimate the size of Ram's army. He came back and gave this incredible list. All these different Vedic measurements are given there. So I wrote it down. I can't remember exactly, but to give you an idea. It was something like, I wrote it on a piece of paper about this size, and the figure filled the whole page. It was about 11 billion to the power of 12. And I mean, how much is that? You cannot imagine. Like the number of atoms in the universe or something. Like, incredible figure. Beyond, you know, anyone who says, this is mythology. This is not true. How can you believe? There's only 6 billion people on the planet now. 11 billion to the power of 12? That's 11 billion times itself 12 times. Incredible. Inconceivable. On the bridge, which was, you don't know, what was it? Eight yojanas wide, 80 miles wide. The bridge was somebody's idea. The bridge was like one stone and everyone's tiptoeing across or something. It was 80 miles wide, 130 kilometers wide. What to speak of the length? That was the width. And all these billions and billions and billions and billions of monkeys were just pouring over. Waves. When Ravana stood on the topmost parapet of Lanka, looking out to purview the enemy, he said that he could not see the ground in any direction. It was one brown carpet to the horizon. From the wall to the horizon, it was one brown carpet full of baboons, monkeys, and bears. Of course, there were one or two humans. Somewhere in there, Ram and Sita, Ram and Lakshman. But otherwise it was a brown carpet. And that was beyond the horizon. You could only see to the horizon. It's inconceivable. Where they were, and the billions upon billions upon billions of Rakshasas, where are they coming from? It's just like thoughts in our mind, huh? Desires, where do they keep coming from? They come from out of nowhere. They just sort of appear from underground. Of course, all these Rakshasas were coming from the netherworlds, from here, there, and everywhere. This is not on the same plane. We're trying to measure everything. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, anything you can measure is called Maya. This is not, I mean, you can say, well, why have you said all this? It's all Maya. But the point is, you can't really measure these things. It gives an indication. It's inconceivable. It's because it's not measurable by our brain substance. But what is something we can absorb are some of the practical lessons. Now let's look at some of those. So we like to hear all these wonderful, exciting pastimes and all the
you know, we've heard already all the wonderful relationship between Sita and Ram, and all the loving Vipalamba Bhav, and all these wonderful emotional things, like when Dasarath, when Lord Ramchandra left home. You know, some of you, I'm sure, are involved in drama. I remember one time one actor, he was telling me that, I think it was in Orissa, one time one drama, one man, he played the part of Narsingadev in the drama. So in this drama, he was such a good actor. Right there on the stage, he was fighting with Hiranyakashipu. And as they were fighting, he tore the guts of Hiranyakashipu to pieces and ripped his intestines out and killed him on the stage. The other actor was dead. He actually killed him. He tore him apart in the drama. He was acquitted because he had no idea. The man, everyone was convinced that he knew nothing about what he did. It wasn't him. In dramas like that, you just get into it, you know. And then, so he, but they did retire him from drama. For a long time, a bit too dangerous. And it was a long time before he took part in drama. Next drama he took part in was Ramayana. So they were going to be very, very careful about what part we give him in this drama. So they gave him the part of Dasharath. He was Dasharath. And right there on the stage, when Ram left home, he dropped dead. He died. Right there and then. Now we, not to say we should imitate that, but this is the emotion. Without Ram, without Sita, what meaning does our life have? It has no meaning. No value. Without Krishna, our life has no... We're dead. We're as good as dead. How can we live without them? We think we can live, but this is not real life. Okay, I better get on. I keep saying we're going to... Oh, we've only got 20 minutes left. Lessons. Okay. Any lessons? What lessons can we learn from Ramayana? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay. Anything else? Okay, Maharaj, we finished. Any lessons? Come on, think of a lesson. Hey. Something we're supposed to learn. What does Prabhupada say about Ramayana? The most, one of the main things, Bhagavatam, I don't think we'll have time to read it now. Maybe we won't, maybe we will. But what does Prabhupada say, ninth canto Bhagavatam? What lesson are we supposed to learn? Yeah? Well, yeah, indirectly. We should learn how to enjoy like Ravana. Correct. Is that what you said? Radhishyam Prabhu has given a very, very devotional suggestion here. We should all learn, just like Ravana, how we can enjoy the material world. Right? No. Oh, okay. How one will become destroyed if we have the mentality of Ravana. Yes. Now, we've all got a bit of this. In the English word, ravenous. Have you heard of it? He's very ravenous. What does that mean? You're English? Where are you from? Pardon? California. They speak English in California? You should know. What does ravenous mean? There's lots of ravenous people in California. What is ravenous? He's been saved. Saved from the ravine. The ravine or the ravenous mentality. Well, you know what a ravine is? Right? Dangerous, huh? What is a ravenous? Who knows what ravenous is? You know what it means? Who knows? Come on. You never heard this word? Ravenous? It means one who's got uncontrolled senses. One who cannot control themselves, they just gotta have it. It's called ravenous. Isn't it amazing? Ravana. Ravenous.
Whether it comes from that or not is quite interesting. We all know Ravana, of course, means something else, of course, who causes others to cry. But in English, the word ravenous is very related to Ravana. We've all got this tendency sometimes, huh? I want to enjoy. It's enjoying. Even we try to enjoy in Krishna consciousness. I want this, I want that. Okay, stepping stone. Trying to enjoy Krishna's pleasures and so on. And likes and so on. Touch of the Ravana mentality. So this will not actually release us from this material world. It will cause bondage. It will cause distress. What else can we learn from Ramayana? Prabhupada says something. Not, he also may have mentioned that, but he mentions something specific. Pardon? How do you know about that? You've heard it. You were not married. It may be previous lifetime. You've got good experiences. The glories, the sweetness of married life. How nectarian married life is. How enjoyable it is. Isn't it? Some of you are married, you know all the glorious, sweet nectar of married life. And those who haven't gotten married yet, well, we will say no more. But no, Prabhupada says the difficulty, or let's say the struggles of married. Let's look at Ram. The Supreme Lord is showing us. Sita Devi is showing us. There are other sides. We've heard other sides already. But this is what Prabhupada says. He says in married life, the great difficulties that are there in married life. There's so much struggle there. Ultimately, the Vedic society is to bring us to the point of realizing this is not our business. Married life is to teach us this is not really our business, to be attached like this to the day we die. The idea is that we become free, not that we become negative, callous, or irresponsible. No. But that we realize this is my business is not to enjoy. My business is to be enjoyed. My business is to please Krishna, not to try to enjoy his energies. Not that Rama and Sita, of course, were transcendental. By hearing these pastimes, now this is a lesson, not a lesson, also a benefit or benediction of hearing these pastimes of Sita and Ram. By hearing about Sita Devi and Ram going to the forest, or eventually Sita Devi being banished or being kidnapped, this Maya Sita being kidnapped, and apparently, of course, everyone is under the impression she's been kidnapped. Like this. This is also all part of helping us to become free of this attachment to the opposite sex. Attachment to the wife. Attachment to the husband. Whatever. That may be good for the wife if the husband's a devotee. But the general attachment to this material world, which is the cause of our bondage. So here in these pastimes helps free us from the bondage of the material world. This is the benedictory, or the benefit of hearing these from the right source, submissively. We become freed from the bondage. What else? Pardon? Yes, the leader should be very powerful, like that we talk about Ramaraj. But we need Rajarishis, we need kings, leaders, who are spiritually and materially strong, to really bring benefit to others. Otherwise you get someone like, not just strong, Ravana was strong. He was powerful. But he was not a Rishi. He was born of a Brahmin. But he was actually behaving like a demon. We need leaders who are spiritually advanced to help others to actually fulfill the human purpose of life. Those just being strong like Duryodhana, or like Ravana or Hiranyakashipu, is not really of any use. And that's not the only thing, but to be spiritually pure. The king should be Rajarishi. What else? Anger can be used in Krishna's service. Yeah, we see Hanuman. Certainly he was very, very angry. You know, all the monkeys. There's so many examples of this, and thoughts are coming to the mind now. Time is running out. So many examples could be given of how anger is to be. There is a way of using it. But of course, again, by hearing these pure devotees and how they use anger, we cannot imitate, but by hearing it properly, we may become purified of the anger which sometimes captures us. We may not be using anger purely in Krishna service. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was asked this question, can we use anger in Krishna service? Is that the right way? And he said, yes, it is. You use it against the enemies of the Lord, as Hanuman and the monkeys, and etc. use their anger against Ravana and the Rakshasas, etc. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, first we have to understand who is the enemy of the Lord? Who is the most inimical to Krishna? And when I look at my own self, I find no one more inimical than me. So to whom am I supposed to use anger? I am the most inimical person towards Krishna. So first he said, you have to learn how to use it on yourself to curtail one's own demoniac or non-Krishna conscious propensity and tendencies, etc. So, you know, anger certainly can be used. And we see in the pure devotees use it. Arjuna, Hanuman, they use it like this. What else? Huh? Beautiful example. You said the squirrel? The squirrel? Yeah, usually you say squirrel. Sometimes we hear spider. No, we hear spider. Squirrel. Jai Maharaj. I went, they're building the bridge over to Lanka. Here's another nice example here of real devotion. Devotion is not just an activity. It's the consciousness. It's Krishna consciousness. It's not just doing things. Sometimes we may be good at doing things. We've been blessed by the Lord with a capacity to do things. But sometimes we become proud of that. So Lord Ramchandra taught that when they were building the bridge to Lanka. All the devotees were trying to help somehow to build the bridge. Of course, Hanuman was the most powerful. He was very powerful. And he was carrying mountains, placing mountains on the ocean. Huge mountains, huge boulders. Others could not do as much as that. But everyone was trying to assist in this great task. So one squirrel came along. And the squirrel also wanted to help. And the squirrel could only move small pieces of dirt and earth and dust and things. So Hanuman was practically was getting in the way of Hanuman. And Hanuman was saying, out the way. Move away. What's the use of this? And immediately Ram chastised Hanuman. Said, no, this squirrel, the service of this squirrel is just as dear to me as yours. Because this squirrel is giving its all. It's not the quantity it counts, but the quality. In fact, the squirrel was without pride. Not that Hanuman was proud. Lord Ram is teaching the lesson, and sometimes his devotees assume these various, let's say, moods or natures in order to teach us. So Hanuman appeared to be proud. So in this way, Lord Ram is teaching us, don't be proud, even if you are very qualified, relatively speaking, famous amongst the infamous. We may be. But, you know, that's not necessarily what we're really here for. We want to please Lord Ram. We want to please Krishna. And he's pleased by humble service, according to our capacity. We have a few minutes left. We started a little late, Maharaj, so we may go 5 minutes over, if it's okay with you. I can't remember who was speaking before, but I remember they went a little over time. Huh? 5 minutes. So you were 5 minutes late start. Sorry, 10 minutes late finish. All right. Anyway, it'll all work out. Don't worry. It'll all work out in the end. Ram will win. Don't worry. Yes, wherever there's Sita and Ram, there will certainly be victory. Victory to Ram. What else can we learn? Come on, more lessons. Pardon? Yes, very good. Dangers of bad association. How one can become affected by the wrong association. Give an example. Pardon? Huh? Yeah, very good. Very good example. How Kaikeyi was not thinking of banishing Ram. Not at all. She was very happy when she heard Ram would be coronated. But her maidservant, Mantara, she was... Because she was meant to do that. Everything is planned. In fact, the gods were very... Now, when they heard this, they thought, now, Everything is going in the right direction. Our business is now on the way. Soon Ravana will be annihilated. It's all the part of the Lord orchestrates all these things, you see? That's one thing. And secondly, for us to learn lessons. The danger or the effect of bad association. We have to keep good association always. Huh? Very careful. What other lessons can we learn? Pardon? Yeah, well, wonderful sacrifice of the heart. We heard that, I think, just... Did you tell that story? You did, didn't you? Someone did, I think, of how Bart was such a great devotee, even though, of course, at first, some of the residents of Ayodhya, they were thinking that Bart was scheming this to take over the kingdom and so on and so forth. He had no idea what was going on. He was astonished. He was devastated when he heard what had happened, that Ram had been banished and that he had been chosen to be the king. He had no desire whatsoever. He refused. He did everything he could. He insisted that, no, forget this, Ram. You come back. You are the king. I will not take this post. And then eventually it was not possible to bring Ram back. So he himself then insisted he would not sit on the throne. He stayed well away from the king's throne. He lived in a simple cottage miles away and practically fasted. And he just worshipped Ram's shoes. He kept Ram's shoes there on the throne. And he said he would give up his life if Ram didn't come back after his exile. He would not continue. He was such a great example of devotion, of faithfulness and chastity to Lord Ramchandra. What a wonderful example. We can all learn from that. Thinking, now I've taken over. No. A mundane person will be happy. He would jump for joy. But the devotee, no. On our own account, we don't think I... On the behalf of my guru, or on behalf of the Vaishnavas, we may endeavor to do some service by their mercy. Prabhupada also taught never to take credit, only by the grace of my spiritual master. Even we were reading here in the other day how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, the day is... Sometimes they say, your Guru Maharaj, Gorkishore Das Babaji, and you, there seems to be no similarity hardly. He said, actually, it's just like this in a great machine. There may be a battery. You can't see it or hear it. It's quiet. But the battery is actually which is charging the entire great machine. Similarly, my Guru Maharaj is my battery. I have nothing except for his mercy. Whatever I have is entirely his mercy. So like this, the devotees see. What else can we learn? Wonderful service attitude of Lakshman. Such beautiful service attitude of Lakshman. That, you know, how he would stay awake all night long in Chitrakoot, when they were staying in Chitrakoot there on the hill, watching all night. He would not sleep, guarding, making sure there was no disturbance to Sita Ram. He would serve Ram hand and foot day and night. He was so chaste. He would not even look, it said, at the face. In fact, well, there are different stories. It said that he never saw the face of Sita. He didn't know what she looked like. He never looked at her. He didn't know what she looked like. Always look at her feet. He didn't know what her face was until he went to the forest after she was banished in the ashram of Valmiki. He didn't know what her face looked like. Amazingly devoted to his brother. So devoted. He would do anything for Ram. What else? Huh? Can you pass it forward? Oh, yes. The danger of illicit desires. Can you think of any example in the Ramayana of that? Someone who had illicit desires? Who are you thinking about? Ravana is one example. He's a good one. Yes, he certainly had illicit desires to try to enjoy the wives of others. Huh? What a sinful activity, huh? Very, and what the result of that was. His whole dynasty was all virtually wiped out. So many examples we can think of. I'd just like to read one or two because our time is short. One of my favorites. Upside down. Let's see, we've got attachment, proper diplomacy. Oh, we've heard one or two benedictory effects. So many morals that we can see in dharmic behavior and so on. So many taking proper counsel, serving the Brahmins, chastity, taking into account public opinion, which is something which is also there in Vedic society, following religious principles strictly. Even Ram taught all of this. Let's look at another one. Here's another one. Forgiveness. Here's one of my favorites. Who can think of a forgiveness one, huh? Ram. Yes, what is Ram? Ram forgave who? Huh? Pardon? Ravana's wife? Spice? S-P-Y. Spies. He forgave his spies. Of course, spies are generally forgiven like that anyway. They're not... But he also forgave the Rakshasas in one sense, after the whole battle of Lanka. But here's my favorite. When Hanuman came into the Ashok forest, and all the Rakshasas, they were tormenting Sita Devi, huh? This is a beautiful example given by Sita Devi. Very beautiful example. And Hanuman, after he came in there, of course, and revealed, and Sita Devi was convinced of his identity, etc., Hanuman was very angry, in one sense, to see the behavior of these Rakshasas. So he said, if you so desire, I can kill all these hideous Rakshasa women who have tormented you for so long. In fact, I would take great pleasure in avenging all the suffering that you had to undergo. I simply await your permission. He was very eager. Sita Devi, however, was very kind to the downtrodden. She replied, they are only foolish maidservants who had to carry out the orders of the king. Whatever I had suffered was the result of my own misdeeds. And one lesson. Whatever I have suffered is the result of my own misdeeds. She also told a nice lesson. I remember in Sitapahi a couple of years ago, again there are different stories, but this is said to be one of the places where Sita Devi ascended or returned into the earth, into Mother Earth. And they were hearing how Sita Devi was also explaining how this life is such misery. What's the use of this life? You know, right from the beginning, practically, nothing but suffering, banishment, living in the forest, demons and Rakshasas, being kidnapped by Ravana, tormented by Rakshasas, having to go through the fire, you know, so many, and then being banished, and then being practically insulted when Lakshman, again, there are different stories, we know, than this particular one. Lakshman coming and asking her to come back, and even Ram didn't come himself. You know, like this, she felt this life is of no value, and she just thought, get rid of it, enter back into the earth. And she's teaching so many. So here she's teaching forgiveness. Whatever I had suffered was the result of my own misdeeds, and these Rakshasas acted only as instruments in the hands of destiny. So we can learn from that. Hanuman, perhaps you have heard this old adage that was once spoken by a bear. A great man never takes into account the offenses that are committed against him. Indeed, he vows at all costs he will not return evil with evil. The story goes like this. There was a hunter being chased by a tiger, and so he climbed into a big tree. It so happened there was a bear perched upon one of the branches. Seeing this, the tiger said, this hunter is our common enemy. Therefore, you should push him out of the tree so that I can eat him. The bear replied, No, this hunter has taken shelter of my home, and so I will not do anything to harm him. To act in such a way would be most unrighteous. After saying this, the bear went to sleep. The tiger then told the hunter, Hunter, if you push the bear out of the tree so that I can eat him, I promise I will not harm you. Being swayed by the tiger's words, the hunter pushed the sleeping bear. But as he was falling, the bear managed to grab onto a branch and save himself. The tiger then said to the bear, Bear, because this hunter tried to kill you, you should retaliate by pushing him out of the tree. And yet, even though the tiger appealed to the bear in this manner, again and again the bear refused, saying, "A great person never takes into account the sins of one who has offended him. Instead, at all costs, he keeps his vow to never return evil for evil, because he knows that good conduct is the ornament of virtuous persons." So that was another lesson spoken by Sita Devi. And I guess we really have to finish. I wanted to read a few more wonderful things, but time is... Last thing, a benediction. Lord Sri Ramchandra said, "My dear Hanuman, I shall never be able to repay you for the service that you have rendered. I will remain eternally indebted. Your life will continue for as long as the Ramayana is recited. And the Ramayana will be recited as long as the earth continues to exist." Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Ramayan Ki Jai. Shri Ram Nomi Ki Jai. Gaura Prema Nandi. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.